Rolene Marks from Israel. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Always feel filled with an extra boost of strength when I hear that wisdom and when I start the weekend off with you, Mr. Howard Feldman.
All right. That is great to hear. Let's start off with just a great story, and that is Israel winning a judo tournament again, or a judo fight or competition, whatever it would be, against Saudi Arabia. Just tell us that story quickly.
Well, I don't know what happens in judo. I mean, I don't know what happens in any sports unless, of course, Olympic shoe shopping. But our judokas performing at the Olympics, not to the height that were expected, but our judoka this morning in her bout against the Saudi Arabian opponent beat Saudi Arabia, and an incredible moment of our judoka going up to her, the two of them shaking hands and a hug, or well, it was actually half a hug, but a great moment, not just for the sport and not just for the Olympics, where we've seen some very, very ill-tempered and bad mannered competitors, if you can call them that, earlier this week, but a real great moment for the Middle East. It's an absolute historic moment. Saudi Arabia versusing, I don't know what you say in sport, I need some help there. Judo bout this morning.
Yeah, also I didn't know that. If somebody can help us, what is it? Is it a match? Is it a bout? Is it a hammering? What is it when two people in judo go into the, it's not even a ring, onto a mat, and they bow? I don't know. And then they do stuff.
They do stuff. There's kicking, there's punching, there's all kinds of things. But at the end of the day, we have two powers in the Middle East treating each other, showing what the spirit of the Olympics is all about. And dare I say, Howard, showing what the spirit of the new Middle East is all about. I'm following it on Twitter. The Israeli journalists coming out and saying, Historia, you know, it's historic, really, really a special moment, especially since we've had two judokas, one from Algeria and one from Sudan, who didn't get the memo that we actually do have normalized ties with the Sudan, opting to forfeit their matches rather than face down their Israeli opponents, something that the International Olympic Committee and the International Judo Federation are taking very, very seriously. But the two ladies showing them how it's done and being totally, totally respectful and full of class.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Let's talk about this appointment of a Holocaust historian as the US's next anti-Semitism envoy.
Well, this, I think, is a huge, huge win for the Jewish community in America and for global Jewry. But U.S. President Joe Biden, and he's been criticized quite heavily for really, really taking his time with diplomatic appointments. I mean, we're now almost in August, and he was inaugurated in January, and we're waiting like literally 8 months for him to fulfill very, very important posts, one of them being the envoy on anti-Semitism. And he's picked somebody familiar to many of us, and that is Holocaust historian Deborah Lipstadt. Deborah Lipstadt, many of you would have been familiar with the movie Denial, when she took on David Irving, the famed Holocaust denier. She's an extraordinary, extraordinary scholar. She is the Dorot Professor of Modern Jewish History and Holocaust Studies at Emory University in Atlanta, one of the foremost voices and experts, and she follows Ilan Carr. He was just extraordinary during his time in office, and this couldn't come at a more critical moment for Jewish history and for where we are seeing anti-Semitism rise to alarming levels around the world. And the United States is definitely no exception, and especially in the fields of academia, some very, very frightening news coming in with students for a just Palestine, or whatever they want to call themselves, are calling for the defunding of Hillel. Now, Hillel is a Jewish organization for students. It's a place where a lot of students find solace on a Shabbat, finding a meal there, finding a place to go and observe, finding like-minded folk there. It's essentially not very political in nature, but more concentrated on Jewish life on campus. And you've got this student group calling for them to be defunded, which is just appalling. And we are seeing a horrible trend in Jews being excluded from academic unions, Jews being excluded on a campus, and now Jewish life on university campuses facing threats. So a very, very important appointment indeed.
Amazing. Absolutely, absolutely incredible. The other, of course, incredible story that happened this week was Israel receiving observer status for the AU.
This was an absolutely incredible moment, kept very, very much under wraps until Foreign Minister Yair Lapid announced that we have been readmitted to the African Union in observer status. And this goes to show Israel's growing opening diplomatic fronts around the world. Yesterday, we opened up a trade office for Azerbaijan. I think I pronounced that correctly. A Muslim majority country who we've had strong ties with for 30 years, but then finally opening up a trade office in Israel, which is really, really a great moment. We've also seen countries saying that they're going to be moving their embassies to Jerusalem. Also very, very significant. More and more countries, including African countries, starting to formalize ties with Israel. And it leads me to ask the question, South Africa, what is going on?
No, man, we meant to ask you the questions, Rolene. You're the expert on this. You tell us what's going on.
I really want to understand. Mm. Maybe somebody from Durco is listening. What is possibly appalling about South Africa joining the African Union?
Israel.
You know, if you consider yourself countries that want to play a part in brokering any kind of peace, any kind of rapprochement between Israel and the Palestinians, you have to have both parties present, or you have to have.
Yeah, what South Africa is saying. What South Africa is saying is that Israel is not even allowed into the room. They do not even want them there. So their voice, their perspective is completely irrelevant. It is irrelevant. South Africa is absolutely not interested. It's not even as though Israel's allowed to talk. They would have observer status. But even that is just too much for South Africa to bear.
And the irony is that in all of this is that many African countries, Muslim majority African countries, are saying, you know what, why do we have to choose sides when it comes to Israel and the Palestinians? Can't we speak to both? Can't we cooperate with both? And this is where the developed and developing world is going. When you are so partisan, when you take one side, as has been demonstrated by Ben and Jerry's, now by South Africa, you really show where you are sitting in the international community. South Africa was also a country that found it appalling that Israel and the United Arab Emirates and all the other Abrahamic Accords countries normalized. This is an event that's massively historic, that can pave the way towards peace with the Palestinians. We've certainly seen an increase in overtures between Israelis and Palestinians towards each other over the last 2 weeks. Some very important phone calls taking place on Wednesday, an important meeting in Jerusalem with the health ministers and environment ministers of both the Palestinian Authority and the State of Israel, sitting down, talking to each other, looking for practical ways to improve the lives of Palestinians on the ground. And South Africa just takes steps further and further and further away, which it really takes South Africa behind the rest of the world.
And what's so interesting is it's hardly as though South Africa's in a position to lecture anybody on anything in terms of morality. If we look at the lack of morality within the ruling party, what they have done to the country, how they have really abused and responsible for so many deaths and so much suffering and so much poverty in South Africa, one would think that they would be embarrassed to stand up and lecture anybody about anything. And yet they do.
I mean, we understand the historical ties between a lot of the ruling party and what was then the PLO. We understand the historical ties, but you know what? The rest of the world is progressing, and South Africa needs to decide when it comes to foreign policy, are they going to progress with the rest of the world, or are they going to stay behind in the 1970s and the 1980s?
Yeah, I think they have decided, unfortunately, which is why they will never criticize Cuba. They support Cuba, they prop them up, they give them money where they really shouldn't have, in all sorts of dodgy contracts and dodgy deals, whilst Cuba denies its own people any form of democratic right. And yet they turn around with the same face and refuse to have Israel part of a room that they are participating in it. It's shameful. It's embarrassing, actually.
Well, it is shameful. You know, having ties with countries that commit gross human rights violations, Cuba, Venezuela, Iran, to name but a few, and siding with these countries doesn't say very favorable things about where you hope to see yourself in global standing.
Yeah, well, I think they have said everything they need to say. Let's just, while we've still got a few minutes, talk about COVID-19 opening up vaccinations. Now, this is a third shot of Pfizer to over 60s. Is that correct?
Yes, we're going to start rolling out from Sunday a booster shot, starting with the over 60s. It's actually quite incredible because what we're seeing now is that Israel is vaccinating children under the age of 12. We've seen that there are no adverse side effects. And actually quite moving to see the Prime Minister take his kids off for their Pfizer shots. And then the Prime Minister is going to take his mom on Sunday for her booster shot. So really leading from the front, Naftali Bennett. But we have seen a surge in the amount of cases and also an increase in the amount of serious cases. And we still have a large swath of the population that haven't even received their first shot. So a lot of debate happening internally in Israel about, you know, the responsibility of these people to get vaccinated. The majority of the opinion that they should be getting vaccinated. But yes, another historical first, we become the first country in the world to start rolling out the third booster shot.
And at this stage, though, it's only for over 60s. Is it likely that it's now going to be included for everybody ultimately?
It's going to be included for everybody. This is what we understand so far. For the moment, you know, we first thought it would start for immunocompromised people over the age of 60, but the health department has decided everybody 60 and above. So I'm waiting until I get my alert from the HMO. My sleeve is rolled up. I'm ready. Just jab me, Hal. Just jab me.